Welcome to the SDC Daily Podcast. This term we're looking at Matthew's Gospel. If this podcast encourages you, why not pass on the link?
Welcome to Tuesday's podcast. Our reading today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. But today we're going to focus on verses 1 to 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." A thought for the day. It seems a little bit weird to be reading these passages at the start of September. For good or for bad, we tend to read them at Christmas. The story of the wise men is a particular favourite at children's nativities. The crown slipping off the child's head as they wander to the stage, and whoever speaks does so in a posh, royal type of voice. Here's the thing. By doing that, we've caricatured and sanitised this deeply powerful prophetic story of the Magi, the wise men, and lost some of its deeply significant meaning. So what, if anything, can Matthew's account of the arrival of these Magi, these wise men, say to anything to us in 2020? I think it says something directly about racism. Not only has 2020 brought us a global pandemic, but on the 25th of May, George Floyd Jr. died after Derek Chauvin, a police officer from the Minneapolis Police Department, knelt on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds during an arrest. For the final 2 minutes, Floyd lay face down motionless. The officers called for medical assistance but offered none themselves. Chauvin kept his knee on Derek Floyd's neck as the ambulance crews arrived. A second autopsy confirmed he died by mechanical asphyxia. And those chilling words, "I can't breathe," became a heart's cry for a moment. America erupted. We saw some of the worst racial tensions since the 1960s in this country and in others too. Floyd's death revealed yet again the historic and systemic injustice made significantly worse by the way COVID-19 has affected poor communities more than others. Social commentators said at the time that George Floyd's death brought into the public conversation this idea of white privilege, a bias, that the system is rigged towards white people, meaning if you're a person of colour, you're facing a tougher, deeper battle to get on with life just because the colour of your skin. And honestly, it was a bit of a wake-up moment for the church. It highlighted that there were people in our congregations that have lived through and are living through discrimination that we don't know anything about. Silent, hidden, but very, very real. It was a time when many churches suddenly said, "We need to do something. We need to work for change." The thing is that the Magi, those so-called wise men, were astrologers and astronomers. In the ancient times, those kind of two were combined. And their role really was to interpret the sign of the times. And they made a huge amount of money doing it. They'd seen a sign in the sky and had set off to look for the King Jesus. In the ancient world, the belief was that whatever was happening on earth was reflected in the skies and vice versa. The big infamous star that guided them was most probably an astrological event where Jupiter, the royal planet, and Saturn representing the Jews lined up in conjunction. Their arrival in Jerusalem would have caused a great stir and would have been a real headache for Herod the Great. We know the rest of the story. We've read it before, we've lived through it in school productions. Herod the Great, the kind of baddie, tries to trick them and find Jesus, but they manage to get to him bringing those legendary gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. As a middle-aged white man, as I read that story, I'm tempted to be moved by their worship of Jesus, their devotion, their generosity. It's really powerful and prophetic. And I might be, in this current climate, which we might talk about tomorrow, look at the toxic, controlling political leadership of Herod. But if 2020 screams anything to us, it's this. it highlights that these magi, these wise men, were non-Jewish. They were Gentiles. And in a world of deep division, racism and segregation, where Jewish rabbis would have recited this blessing each morning, "Thank God I'm not a Gentile, a woman or a slave," it's deeply, deeply prophetic that some of the first visitors to come and worship Jesus were from what we think now is modern day Iraq. They were from the East. They were outside of the covenant. Just let that sink in for a moment. Jesus was born into a deeply racially divided society. Racism is a sin. And sin separates us from God, but also it separates us from each other. And we are made in the image of God. And racism fundamentally undermines that. Reading the scriptures, we'll see that in the cross of Jesus, the dividing barrier is broken between God and us, and with us and other people. Therefore, we work as followers of Jesus towards eradicating racism. So on a practical level, what do we do? Well, firstly, we can talk to some people for whom this has been their story, and we can listen. This moment gives some people, perhaps for the first time, the opportunity to talk about their experiences of racism. You can listen to podcasts and books. I can recommend Ben Lindsay's book, We Need to Talk About Race, or if you're into podcasts, I can recommend Of Sates and Sorrows by a guy called Galibe Omenaka, a Nigerian Brit who did law at Sheffield University, now living in California. Secondly, we need to confront it around us and within us. We need to ask the Spirit of God to search our hearts to see, is there bias in me? Is there racism in me? Let's open our hearts to the Lord. Do I treat people differently? Do we need to repent and say to the Lord, we're sorry, make some changes? And will we confront racism when we see it? And will we commit to making our communities a place where people of colour can truly thrive? Let's pray. Father, we pray that we'll work for justice, to confront racism, to root it out in our lives, our church, and in our community. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had happened. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented to him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Could ever.